Shall I get off okay? Shall I get off okay?
It is Again With This, a weekly look at one episode of a particular show. That show is Beverly Hills 90210. This episode, season one, episode four, The First Time Barf.
Yeah.
Here are your hosts, Tari Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Tara.
Are you ready for this? Is anyone really ready for this?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so let's get into it. This is obviously the episode where, as it were, Brandon does it with his girlfriend. But first, let's dispense with the B story because really, no one cares. Starts out with Brenda and Kelly and Donna are all taking algebra with this teacher that I guess is hot, and then a question mark in an early 90s way because he's got a big, big mullet. They're standing outside in the hall, gives them a chance to get their proto Sex in the City banter on, and that's clip number two.
You know what I haven't been able to figure out ever since I've gotten here? How could somebody so gorgeous be an algebra teacher? I mean, it's like he should be a lifeguard or a ski instructor or something.
Yeah, he should definitely be working outdoors.
Or indoors.
Even the tone of Kelly's voice, she sounds exactly like Kim Cattrall as Samantha.
Yeah, well, Kelly.
But anyway, they have class. He asks Brenda to stay back. She has this whole stupid fantasy about him asking her to run away with him, but it turns out he just wants her to babysit, and she agrees, even though when Brandon drops her off, there's like a clearly 80-yard line about her where she says, "Wish me luck on my first babysitting job." Like, really?
Oh God! Thank you for pointing that out, because I had that in my notes. Like, did we need this exposition? Who is tuning in the middle? in the middle? Who would care? That it's like, well, where is she? Is she like pulling a heist? She's obviously babysitting. It's teen show.
Also, like, is Brenda that committed to never getting any kind of a job on the show that even babysitting is something that she's never done and she's 16? Like, seriously? I don't know how it's possible to not just accidentally end up babysitting someone by that age. But anyway, so she goes over, And to no surprise, for no good reason, Matt's wife is a total bitch, and that is clip number three.
Oh, sweetheart, this is Brenda.
Hello. Matt, call Dan, tell him we're running late. And not that jacket.
Why not?
Because you're wearing two shades of the same color, that's why not.
Brenda, this is Lisa and Elliot.
Hi.
I don't need a babysitter.
Let go of Mommy, please.
Brenda's one of my best geometry students.
Algebra.
Oh.
So you mentioned. Now, Matt, hurry up and change. We're never going to make that movie.
You Claude.
Well, didn't she call him Dan the first time she told him to change his jacket, or am I...
I heard Matt, but it's...
Projecting?
It's okay. Possible that this under five actress didn't bother to learn the name of her pretend husband. So Kelly and Donna then, for some reason, show up. How they found their way there, I'm sure I don't know. They're wearing dumb outfits, and they immediately start rooting through all of his stuff and find a photo album in his underwear drawer and are looking at it when the wife and Matt come home, and it's embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Matt's wife is an even bigger bitch by the time she gets home, but at least this time she has cause, because there's a bunch of strangers in her house that have been going through shit.
And they ate all the snacks, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course. And then that's it. Babysitting and seeing his sad home life with his mean wife kills Brenda's crush. The end. Okay. So the A plot, as it were, Brandon spends a bunch of time bitching at the beginning of the episode about the terrible non-changing weather in LA. And then he gets a call from his former girlfriend, Cheryl. Everybody is like totally eavesdropping on this conversation, including Jim, like just walking up and down the hall playing with a baseball and glove for like the worst subterfuge ever. But long story short, Brandon announces that Cheryl is coming for the weekend. Like, there's this thing called asking that I thought teenagers had to do when they have parents. But anyway, she shows up. But before that, Brandon has to have a conversation with Andrea and her horrible, horrible pleated shorts, and that's clip number four.
Hey, Andrea, can you get someone to cover the football game for me against Beverly High on Saturday?
I thought you said that was supposed to be one of the best games of the year.
Well, it is, but something real important came up. Right out of the blue, totally unexpected.
Who is she?
What are you, psychic?
No, just a whiz at probability.
Well, she's my old girlfriend from Minneapolis. She's coming to visit me for the weekend.
So, why didn't you say so?
I thought you might think it was a lame excuse or something.
Well, how long were you guys together?
A year.
And then? What happened?
Well, we cut each other loose. I don't believe in long-distance relationships.
A year? I didn't even know you had a girlfriend, Brandon.
Well, it just seems stupid to talk about someone who's never around.
You're very secretive.
And you're very nosy.
I'm a journalist. I'm supposed to be.
Sarah?
Well, yeah. I mean, I sort of liked Andrea in the scene, despite the retina-searing, rust-colored, pleated,
rolled-up shorts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they rolled up.
Oh, yes.
Good eye. Yeah, I sort of liked her that she was just, like, peppering him with questions, and then he's like, why don't you butt out? And she's like, because I'm a journalist, which, whatever, her journalism claims are always ridiculous, but...
Hot scoop, boy has girlfriend.
But yeah. Well, but also, I mean, in the same conversation, he's like, we're not together anymore, so, like, there is no story here. Even within this conversation, they switch back and forth.
Stop the presses. Boy has no girlfriend.
Right.
Scoop Suckum in here. yeah. But, I mean, it's inelegant, but for this show, as expositional dumps go, it's not bad.
Yeah, so... Speaking of expositional dumps, then Brandon goes to the tech room where he's rhapsodizing to Dylan about how great Cheryl is, which is, you know, she's not just beautiful, but she has a personality also. And Dylan's like, well, you would say that about anyone who was sleeping with you. And Brandon's like, well, and then that's how we find out that they haven't actually boned. Then Brandon has to spend the rest of the day being pensive about all the sex that he and Cheryl haven't had. And when he gets home, we find out he's not even picking her up from the airport, which is bad form if you live in Los Angeles. If someone's coming to visit in L.A., you go pick them up at the airport, especially if they're a teenager. But anyway, Brandon has to sit around and give her the sex eyes in overdrive. Like, he's even at a certain point, I cut a picture of it, like his eyes are in a special, their own shaft of light while he stares at her.
You said shaft.
Well, so then he waits for everybody to go to sleep and then puts the moves on her. And that's clip number five.
Just wanted to say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Come into my room in an hour.
Brandon, what if your parents decide to check on us?
They won't. I promise. They sleep like they're dead. Don't say no.
We've waited so long. I've just wanted it to be special.
Trust me. Right now, this is special. You just won't know until you do it. Then you'll look back and realize how special it was.
I don't know.
Cheryl. 45 minutes.
I'll have to think about it.
Audible sigh. That's why that clip is so long, because I had to include Brandon sighing. So if you were a fan of shirtless Brandon, this is really your episode, because he's shirtless for like 500 years. And if your second favorite thing to see other than his sex eyes and his shirtless chest is his tongue, you get a lot of that as well, as you can
he's
see.
Also, he's also perfecting the wind his hair into the nape of his, you know, cave lady's neck and grip while wearing a giant watch.
It's not great.
Still needs work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't really get the patent on it until the Susan era.
Yeah, true.
In college, but yeah, he's showing some strong tools. Definitely gonna nail it.
Yeah. So after pretending that she's gonna think about it, obviously Cheryl comes into his room 45 minutes later. That's clip number six.
Do you have protection?
course. It's always been my problem. Lots of protection, but no one to protect.
That always been your problem.
I was watching Dave's face during that clip, knowing what was, as it were, coming. As all this is happening down the hall, Cindy is completely wise to everything that's going on and is kind of in a state about it. And every time she brings it up to Jim, he pretty much ignores her. There's several examples of this, but here's clip number 7.
Jim, I'm serious.
I'll talk to him.
Now?
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll talk to him tomorrow morning.
If I talk to him now, then my boy's not fucking, right? That's Jim's attitude, pretty much.
Well, and also, really, Cindy, like, you want him to go down the hall and interrupt what is obviously happening? Like,
yeah.
That train has left the station, as it were.
As it were. So the next morning, Brandon is goofing off to the big band music of You Just Fucked, because they fucked. And Jim tries to have a conversation with Brandon. Brandon completely blows him off and leaves. He drives Cheryl around town so she can take some terrible pictures from his moving car of large houses that belong to who knows who. And then they meet up with Dylan at the Bellage Hotel. And that is clip number 8.
So are you into movie stars?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to meet one. Why, do you know any?
Yeah, a couple. Well, you know, friends of my family. But I do know a club where you may run into a few.
Really?
It's called Contact. It's, private, but I think I can get us in. I'll tell Brandon. You guys have any plans tonight?
I don't know, nothing definite.
Nobody yet, honey.
So, you guys are, pretty tight, huh?
Who?
You and Brandon.
We were, but he's out here where it's like paradise, and I'm still back there. Where the only reason people wear sunglasses this time of year is they don't go snowblind. So I guess life goes on, right?
Yeah. But, well, to hear Brandon tell it, you guys...
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm not around to hear it.
Okay, so this is where we start to get the first intimations that something might be not quite right with Cheryl between this conversation and also her super crazy, crazy eyes at Dylan in this speech. But yeah, she's definitely into going to a club to see some movie stars. And then the next scene is her, getting ready to go out, and she's wearing, there's pictures of this too. She has on like a jersey peach, tiered skirt with an elastic waist into which she has tucked an embroidered t-shirt with a rainforest scene and Save the Forest on it. This is what she's wearing to a club. To a club!
Don't forget the Zuckerman-style headband with the, like, bangs or, like, the front hair sort of pulled up and poofed in front of the headband.
Yes.
Like, what's the damn point of the damn headband?
Not good. So, yeah, she also asks Brenda about Dylan, and Brenda, like, gives her a very weird answer considering that to this point, Brenda and Dylan have had zero contact. And then as they're leaving... Cindy asks Jim once again to talk to Brandon about his wiener, and that's clip number 9.
Jim, would you please go out there now and talk to Brandon? I don't want a repeat of last night.
First of all, last night is still open to a lot of interpretation.
And we won't know the real story until you talk to him, will we?
All right. I'm going. We're talking.
Jim, I just feel it's not acceptable behavior in our house.
Look, nobody said anything about acceptable or not acceptable. The issue here is responsibility, right?
Okay, right.
Good.
Oh, that music.
I know. I don't know why they get the very special music, but anyway. Jim tries again to talk to Brandon. Brandon, once again.
Not very hard.
Not very hard, as it were. They leave. Then in the driveway, this is actually the first contact between Brenda and Dylan, and it's like they basically don't even look at each other. It's really weird considering how the rest of the season goes. It's incredibly anticlimactic given how intense their feelings are in like 3 episodes from now. But anyway, so Brenda gets dropped off to go babysitting, but first, Brandon has concerns in clip number 10.
Didn't she seem just a little too enthusiastic about getting a ride from him tonight?
Well, take a look at the option.
Obviously, she doesn't like me for my car.
Dylan didn't seem too unhappy about the idea either.
Brandon, what are you saying? You don't trust your own friend?
Which one?
Both of them.
Ooh! Brenda's like, you have nothing to worry about. You're being paranoid. But it's too late. The seed has been planted. Brandon goes to the club, and that's where the shit goes down. Starting with clip number 11.
Hey! Hey, man, it's about time you got here.
I only had to crash my way in.
Wait a minute, Pete, I left your name with the bouncer.
Oh, I guess you got a real short memory.
He did, Brandon.
Listen, why don't you guys just tell me when you finish dancing, okay?
Fine, I'm going to the restroom.
Wild!
She's nuts!
Well, she must be on sensory overload or something.
Listen, man, I think you're the only one here on an overload.
What are you talking about?
Dylan, you can probably call off any girl in the school that you want.
Why are you hitting on my girlfriend?
Brandon, you are out of your mind. I'm not hitting on her.
Come on, Dylan, I know how you operate. I know this great club we can get into. Look at my nice car. No, no, let's just go in. Brandon will find us. Let me buy you a drink.
That's not what happened to
you. It doesn't work with Cheryl. She's not into your car, she's not into your past, she's only into one guy.
You?
That's right.
Well, I think you guys need to have a serious talk, Brandon. As much as I hate to tell you this, your girlfriend hit on me tonight.
I had to leave the crowd noise, too. Ooh, what's going on in here in our private club contact?
A midget is punching his friend. First of all... Like, not that I, you know, we can debate who is being a bigger asshole here, Dylan or Cheryl,
sure.
I guess. I think it's probably obvious that it's Cheryl. But I would like to point out that Brandon is all torqued off because he claims his name wasn't on the list.
Mm-hmm.
He walked right past the line.
Yeah.
Tried to go in on his own. And when the bouncer tried to stop him, he took advantage of, like, a kerfuffle to just run inside without even checking the list.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to be all bent out of shape.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, at least be bent out of shape for the right reasons.
Well, he walks in and they're like, it's that song that you heard, but like they're just swaying on the dance floor and she's got her arms around his neck. And it's like very high school dance of them. But still, it's like the three of their body parts are touching each other. Like, who cares?
Well, yeah, it was like Catholic school slow dance. Like, you could definitely get the
ruler in there. Completely. Totally. So after Dylan leaves, Cheryl ends up at the bar and Brandon goes over to confront her and her dumb blue drink some more. And that is clip number 12.
What's with you, Cheryl? This isn't you.
How would you know? You haven't seen me for 6 months. People change.
Well, after last night, I thought we'd be closer than ever.
Why? Because I had sex with you?
Yeah.
Grow up, Brandon. Sex doesn't make people closer. It only tears them farther apart.
And what makes you such an expert?
Because I've done it before.
Dun, dun, dun! Yeah.
His face literally falls. It's like a Vegas demolition. It's gorgeous.
It's really sad.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, because anyway. So, meanwhile, back at the Walsh house, Cindy has just gotten a call from Cheryl's mother and found out that no one knows Cheryl is in L.A. She ran away. And Brandon tracks her back to Dylan's room at the hotel when clip number 13 happens.
Hi.
I'm going to slip out for a little while. Listen, if you need anything, like clean towels or room service or whatever, call downstairs. Tony will take care of you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
What would they need clean towels for? That's literally the only reason I cut that clip. Like, it's the weirdest thing to say.
The only thing that I can, and I didn't even notice it until you mentioned it earlier or last night. And so the only thing I can imagine is that she was drinking those, like, blue Curacao teas all night. And we've just been told that she's been yuking them back up.
Yeah.
So maybe she'd
used them all
dribbled and had to take a shower and those whole thing with towels. I can't believe I'm fucking retconning why she would need clean towels. Moving on.
Yeah, but the other important thing to hear in that clip is that, you know, once Brandon found out that Cheryl slept with another guy before Brandon, then everything is fine with him and Dylan. Now he knows she's the tramp and Dylan's a cool bro again. So whatever, Brandon. Anyway, after that happens, Dylan takes off and Cheryl and Brandon can have a frank conversation, Brandon braying all the while, clip number 14.
So, you want to tell me what this is all about?
No.
You getting drunk, running out of the club?
You think you know everything about me, don't you? That the way I am around you is the way I am in the rest of my life.
What are you talking about?
All you ever thought about when you moved was how tough it was going to be on you. That you'd be in a strange city and have to make new friends. I thought you'd miss me.
I did. I do.
No, Brandon, not like I missed you. You've got a new life. You have new friends. I'm stuck with the same old problems and the same old people.
And what problems did you ever have?
How about a stepfather I hate? And a mother that defends him? And a father that never calls me? Not even on my birthday.
I didn't realize things were so bad.
Because I didn't want to put my problems on you.
Cheryl, I could have handled it.
Well, I couldn't, Brandon. When we were together, with your family, I felt safe. I didn't have to think about things. So you got me sweet and up and always happy and ready for a good time.
But you didn't have to be that way.
I liked myself that way. When you moved, Brandon, it's like the whole world caved in on me. I couldn't be that way anymore.
Hey, hey.
Hey, shut up.
I thought if I came out to see you, things would be better. Seeing you again only made everything worse.
Do you want to go home?
Fuck it, Cheryl.
I should at least call my mom and let her know I came out to visit.
Excuse me?
Comedy! Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, why is that wacky?
I don't know. Two things. Cheryl's problems are very basic. But also, Brandon has no right to be like, what problems did you ever have? Like, everyone has problems? That's such a weird thing to be mad about.
Well, and what problems did you ever have?
Seriously.
Aside from being 4'10", which, okay. That's a pretty big problem. Except it's a pretty small problem.
It's a small
problem.
Anyway. Yeah. The other thing is, I gift this, but like, there's a shot of Cheryl and she's totally dry, and then they cut to Brandon, and they cut back to her, and her cheeks are wet, like in an instant. It's hilarious.
Glycerin.
So then Brandon brings Cheryl home and sends her upstairs. Jim tries to talk with him a third time, and the cock crows because Brandon betrays him by not listening. But Brenda also points this out, and it's clip number 15.
I can't believe you're so calm. Everything Brandon does is fine. If this was me, you would be freaking out.
She's right. And yeah. That is exactly what happens when she starts being sexually active. So keep that in mind, that she's totally knows what's up in this bullshit family. So then, Brandon catches Brenda up and, he's very weird about it. And that's clip number 16.
Feels like the only thing I want to say right now is goodbye.
Hey, it's a start.
The music felt important to me.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cassio would like you to know that was an important moment. Even if you don't really understand what it means, let's try to unpack the tiny suitcase of Brandon rejecting Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what exactly is going on? Like, either he's grossed out that she boned someone else before she consented to bone him. He
yes.
said as much. That he's like, you made me wait and wait. Like, well,
yeah.
It was 1990. Everybody waited forever because if you fucked the wrong person and the condom broke, you'd fucking die. So shut up, Brandon. Also,
yep.
You're Brandon. Shut up again.
Yep.
But the other possible reason is like, oh, well, her stepfather is kind of not the greatest guy and she's too crazy. Bye. Like, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, I sense that it means that Brandon is a douche.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I believe that you're right about that. So the next day, Cheryl, with her scarf through her belt loops of her jeans for no reason, is packing and refusing a ride. And they talk in clip number 17.
You guys can work things out?
No choice. Real estate's a little steep out here for me right now. But, give me a couple years, I'll be back.
No, you won't! So she refuses a ride to the airport and goes downstairs. Brandon, the last thing he wants to say to her before she leaves is he's been trying this whole time since she said that she slept with someone else to find out who it was, and she has refused to tell him. So he like, runs down the stairs after her, and she still continues to refuse, but then this happens. Clip 18.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Brandon.
So am I.
There's something I want you to know. The other night when we made love,
special. I know it wasn't my first time, and you may never forgive me for that, but trust me, it was different.
How?
It's like it was supposed to be. Like I always imagined it would be. I guess because my feelings for you are so intense. That and the way you held me after. Something I'll never forget. Never.
So who was it, Cheryl?
Don't you understand? It doesn't matter. It was meaningless. That's something I've got to live with. It did make me realize one thing.
What's that?
I gotta go.
Cheryl, wait. Cheryl, wait a second.
I just want to picture this moment of him chasing after her, but he's got his wiener out of his out of his pants. And he's sort of walking all crazy.
I mean, almost, but yeah, continue.
And having seen this so many times, I'm just like, keep going. Go to the cab. Don't say it. Like,
don't, yes.
Do,
but
did it make you realize?
There's no stopping it.
Brandon, you are a wonderful lover.
Really?
Okay, wow. So I made a gif of this moment too. The what you can't see in the audio, but you need to go to the page and look, is that Brenda overhears this and comes out of the living room dressed for the Tour de France, by the way, for no good reason.
I was like, hey, Team Chinzano, what's up?
And so she stands at the bottom of the stairs, looks up at Brandon in shock. Brandon looks down at her like, what are you going to do? And she smiles. It's like, that's not okay. That's your brother. First of all, he's not a wonderful lover, obviously. And second, why are you psyched for him? Gross.
Yeah, no. Absolutely no. Not. No.
Ugh. So let's wrap things up. Jim and his back hair and Brandon go out to the driveway to play basketball. And he tries to, like, it's very subtly raised the issue of what happened with Brandon and Cheryl, and Brandon calls him out, and that's our final clip, 19.
Are you talking about sex?
Actually, I'm talking about love. Why? Is there something that you need to ask me about sex?
Dad, we had this conversation when I was 10. Is there anything new since then?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Just tell Mom we were careful, okay?
Tell Mom anything that she's wrong.
Is anything else?
Come on, Dad. You're the one who told me never to kiss and tell.
Hey!
That's the episode. So why Brandon assumes, I mean, he's right, but I don't know why he assumes that only Cindy is the one that cared that he had sex or would be upset about it. But Jim does give him a look like, well, you'll see. I did it. I captured it for the page, for the episode page. And it's disgusting. Jim is way too psyched about his son getting it wet for the first time. Sarah, you were saying before Jim asked again if Cheryl got off okay.
I'm sure I was saying something, but then that audio drop destroyed me.
Yeah.
Once again. So, that's a motif that continues revoltingly, this like double standard of Jim being thrilled that Brandon is swinging a tiny little wing.
Yeah.
Over whatever girl, but then, God forbid, Brenda even look in the direction of someone's pants. So,
and that's it. Let's wrap it up. MVP. Sarah.
Tony downstairs. He'll set you up with whatever you need. Presumably, someone of regulation height.
Yeah, I gotta give it to Dylan because he tells Brandon some shit and it's all true. And Cheryl is crazy and Dylan is right. Least valuable player.
Jim's waxer.
Yeah, Jim in general does not cover himself with glory as much as he's covered with body hair in this episode.
Gorilla costume All right, hair.
The Kim Challenge. Five reasons.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Dylan might hurt your feet name-dropping all the movie stars he supposedly knows.
Dylan might hurt your retinas with those unbelievable pajama flannel hammer pants he was wearing to school.
Yes, I have a picture of it, but I forgot to mention it in the rundown. Yeah, they're giant, and they're at school, and they're flannel, and they're clearly pajama pants. Dylan might get you alcohol poisoning at the club he takes you to that apparently doesn't card anybody.
Dylan might get you in a fight either at the door or with him.
Dylan might smother you with all the extra towels he apparently has access to.
Can't believe I didn't think of that one, but I'm glad I didn't.
And I think that's it. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Again With This. Brandon did it. Moving on.
Oh, my eyes. Leo.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!